Transformed by Grace, Part 2. Transformed by Grace, Part 2. I know it's not fancy, but it says all I want to tell you. Ephesians, 2nd chapter, verse 8. We mentioned this last week. Let me cover it just to give you just a little refreshing here. For by grace are you saved through faith. It isn't the other way around. You don't have faith and then get saved. You got to have the grace of God smile upon you first. And then God opens the door to faith so you can reach out and receive what it says here. It's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest man should boast. The reason I preached it so straight and narrow last week on grace is because I think that even as Baptists, who are people who are known for grace, the people of grace, we can sometimes take that truth for granted. And then when we take that truth for granted, our lifestyle shows that, doesn't it? Because we say, well, I'm under grace. I'm saved. I can live any old way I want. Can you? No. Because look, what you're going to see later on in the scripture, what you're created for. You're going to see how what he has given you the purpose for living by grace. You're saved by grace through faith in order that you can glorify your Savior in life. That's the bottom line. Amen. Say amen, church. It is the gift of God. Here's the problem, I think. I want you to put your thinking caps on today. I don't want you to let your mind roam too much. I want you to get your notes out, and if you don't have enough place on one sheet of paper, then write your own notes. Because I want you to take this and think about it and meditate on it for, well, the rest of your life. Not just today. Here it is. If you and I do not understand our need for grace, you can never fully rejoice in the free gift of salvation. You get that? You have to know why. Deep down in your heart, why I need grace? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no way, no how, on my best of best days with everything piled into one, that I could offer that to God and say, can you forget the rest? He'll say, absolutely not. Because your best of the best that you bring to me is an offering to get you into heaven. Now listen to what Isaiah says. Is as filthy rags in my presence. Filthy rags. The best of the best of all you can do. And until we get that in here and it travels down to the heart, we will still think we're pretty good people. And God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, if that is the truth, what God says is truth, then I have to come to a realization in my life. If that is truth, what do I do with that truth? That means I cannot save myself. It is not of the gift of works. Or it is not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if there's one individual who could get to heaven by his works, he would just trump all of the blood of Christ. Do you know that? If one individual could get into heaven by what they have done, they would trump the blood of Christ. And that ain't going to happen. Pardon my poor English. It ain't going to happen. Okay? So we got to understand, you see, we got to understand that I need grace, because if I can't do it on my own, if I can't come when I please, if I can't come up with work up a little bit of faith on my own, then how am I going to get saved? It's grace. God opens the door where you can see the cross in your mind. And then he says, will you come? And faith moves the feet at that point. Faith moves the feet. And that's the only part you have. Will you move? Will you accept what God, through his son Jesus, is giving you that you might be saved? Grace opens the door. And faith moves the feet. Amen? How in the world can we have any part of that? What can I do to make myself acceptable? Not a thing. But once you're saved, I'm not going to re-preach the message from last week. Once you're saved, though, okay, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Number one on your outline was last week was through God's covenant, he bestows grace. That's the favor of God. But look what happens after that. All right, let's look in back in verse 7, okay? Number two on your outline, this is where we stopped last week. Through God's compassion, he then blesses us with gifts. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Isn't it absolutely amazing that God gives me grace to be saved? He could have left it right there. He says, okay, I'm taking you to heaven, and I'm not sending you to hell, and that's it. And we would rejoice in that probably, amen? But he doesn't leave it there because grace is continuously extended because that is the character and the nature of God himself. He doesn't just give you little bits. He gives you all that he has. We give little bit. We give him what we can spare, you see. That's our nature. We give him, we give God. Now you listen to me. We give God what we have left over. We give God what we can fit in. Now, where is our commitment to Christ? How many did he say? He said it, didn't he? Didn't he say this to us? He said it to us. How can you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Isn't that what he said? Okay. Now, I'm not preaching at you as much as I am preaching to me also. You know, because the preacher's got to obey the word of God. Amen. I got to do what God says. So do you, Brother John Deacon, or Deacon John. So do you, Miss Wilma, right? And so to every one of you who call yourselves believers in Christ, we also must say, yay, Lord, and then we follow Christ. Anything less is not acceptable. Not for your salvation, but because of my salvation. It says here in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1, that's my reasonable service to give him everything. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord. This is your reasonable service. How can I say, Lord, Lord? Oh, Lord Jesus, how I love you. Oh, because you live. Oh, how I love Jesus. And then I don't pay attention to anything he's called me to do in ministry. I'm smiling when I say it because I see it to me and to you. That's hypocrisy. If you ever want to know the definition of hypocrisy, that's it. And some, beloved, in this world today that go to church after church and time after time and service after service are living a life of hypocrisy because they're resting on their religious works instead of on the blood of Jesus. And they're going to bust hell wide open, beloved. And I don't say that with glee. I say that with tears in my heart and my soul because they need to hear that for by grace are you saved. And when you come to him, then it says in here in verse 7, look what it says, that in the ages to come, this is part 2 right now. Now you're saved. He says, now in the ages to come, he will show you the exceeding riches. Exceeding riches. Have you ever just thought and meditated on that phrase, those two words? Exceeding riches. When? In this age? Yes. But God doesn't leave it in this age alone. He doesn't leave us with just that little bit of, okay, I'm going to bless you today. I hope you're happy. No. Thank you for the blessing today, oh God. I need those blessings today. I need your grace to live today. But thank you that in all of the ages to come, age upon age upon age upon eons and eons, if you could even measure time in infinity, he's still showing riches. Why? What did I say before? Because that's his nature. And he loves you and me so much, he just wants to keep opening other precious doors of blessing. You'd think your heaven would be enough. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Some of you are looking forward to walking streets of gold. Why? Who cares about streets of gold? Who cares? I got a beautiful mansion. My mansion's going to be bigger in years because I'm doing more. Who cares? The more we see Jesus, listen, the more He'll reveal Himself to us. And that is going to be glory for me. You understand that? Does it get from here to here? That's the riches, you see. That's the exceeding riches. The more you bask and live in the presence of Him for all eternity, the more He shows of His blessed self, and the more you just fall in love even more and more and more and more. So you probably won't spend about maybe 15, 20 million years. You won't even go back to the mansion. Lord, do I really got to go back there? I'm enjoying right where I am. Somebody give me a heavenly broom. I got to sweep some of this gold dust out of the house. Just gets over everything. Who needs it? Amen? That's part of His glory, showing what He can do in all of His power for His children. That's part of the glory. But the ultimate of all the glory is just seeing Jesus in His presence. Just being abiding in Him. And look what He says here. He says He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness. The word kindness means, listen now, here's the root of it. We understand kindness as being gracious to pardon and rescue. That's what we see kindness. But you know what the real root of it is? And you have to dig into the root of this. It means to be useful. Profitable. That's what it really means. To be useful and profitable. Not profitable monetarily. I'm talking about profitable for all eternity. Because when He saves us by His grace, you see, He puts all of that grace and all of His riches upon us, all of His righteousness upon us, so that when we stand before the Father, we are profitable for eternity because of the blessing and the sacrifice of Jesus our Savior. And that's why I can stand there. And no other reason. That's His kindness. Some of you are wondering, well, I blew it today. I wonder if the Lord loves me still. Oh, get over that. If you blow it, don't stay in it. Repent of it. And then thank God for grace, for forgiveness, and move on. Amen? Move on. But move on in Him. We all blow it. We all blow it. That's why we need grace every day. Every day I need grace. You all have grace for yourself. Anybody don't need any grace anymore? I need grace every single day because I blow it every day. I wish I could say I didn't. I wish I was at that place where I were in not only in my righteousness in Christ, I'm made perfect because of Him, but I wish I were perfect in every action I ever did. I wish I were. Now, I'm not bragging. Are you? Don't you? Don't you, Jim, wish you would be perfect? Don't you wish you would never sin another sin? You know why? Not so you can stand out. No. In fact, that would be a sin in itself of pride. No, you want to be like Jesus, who humbled Himself and became obedient unto the cross and to death. That's part of that perfection. That's part of the perfection that we don't want. Because we like to be seen. We like that proverbial, boy, aren't you just a sweet person. Keep that to yourself, beloved. Praise the Lord. No. Jesus has to get the glory. Anything that is given to me and not given to Him robs Him from what He has done for me. And I don't need that. He gets it. And that should be the attitude every born-again believer. Give God the glory. Preacher, that was a good sermon today. Give God the glory. Will you bless? Give God the glory. Will your heart turn to Him? Give God the glory. All I am, listen, I am a glorified mouthpiece. How can you give a bullhorn any credit? Because it makes the announcement. Am I right? Not so loud now, huh? No. But that's truth, Bonnie. You don't give a bullhorn credit. You give the messenger the credit. Who's the messenger? I hope and pray is God the Holy Spirit living in me and through me. Because it is not in me to know how to preach blessing unless God, the God of blessing, is upon me. It is not good for you to try to do ministry unless the God who gives you the ministry anoints you to do it. Otherwise, you'll do it in the flesh and you'll bring discredit to Christ instead of glory. Got to get that. For by grace He is saved. And His grace gives you kindness. That when you blow it, you can still come running back to the Father and find blessing in His presence. Amen. When you blow it, you don't have to, like Adam and Eve, you don't have to go and hide in the garden and cover yourself with your own righteous fig leaves. You come back to His presence and say, Lord, I need some more cleansing. I need some forgiving. Amen? Because He doesn't want you. Listen now, listen. Here's the exceeding kindness and riches of grace. He doesn't. Listen. Are you listening? Say amen. He doesn't want you to run from Him. He wants you to run toward Him when you blow it. And you think about it. When you blow it, think about it in your mind. If you indeed are a born-again Christian, and I'm not trying to cause you doubt. I'm trying to say affirmative, yes, I am. All right. When you blow it, does not the Holy Spirit immediately draw you to convict you and then draws you to confession? He doesn't say, get away from me. He says, come toward me. Lord, I just can't believe I just did what I did. He says, come, let's talk about it. Oh, no, Lord, I don't know if I can. Just like some of y'all, I just can't go and tell the preacher that. Well, surprise, I probably already know it anyway. Might as well talk to me about it. I can't condemn you because I don't sit in that judgment seat. He's the only one that could bring judgment, and He's already done that at the cross for you. So now we just got to work to fix it. Amen? Okay, I'm glad you got that. But look at the riches. The word in the Greek is charizomai. And it comes from the Greek word of the root where we get charis, or grace. Do you know that the word for gift in the Greek New Testament is also a word where we get grace? Does that surprise you? That when God gives you the grace of salvation, the gift of salvation, then He gives you gifts in this life to bring you through this life, and He blesses you and blesses you and blesses you and blesses you. But let me tell you how you obtain those blessings. Listen, you can say you're blessed, but you can say, I have a blessed day. But you cannot understand God's blessing until you abide in His presence every day. There's a difference, okay? You might be very well off in this world. You have, I don't want to say riches untold, I don't want to say it that way, but let's say that you lack for nothing. You don't have to worry about it. You got a nice house, you got a nice, and listen, those are blessings from God on our lives too, amen? Okay? But you can't say you're rich without Christ's riches. His exceeding riches. And let me ask you this. Put to the test of commitment in our life. What would you rather have? Your riches or Christ's riches? If you had to make a choice today in this life, what would you say you wanted? I want everything I have because that gives me security. Or Lord, I trust You with everything that You give to me. What would you want? You know, that's some of those things we call those hard questions. But listen. It's okay in this sense. If you answer, I'll take door number one. But Lord, I know that's not where I need to be. Do you get it? It's being what I call being honest with God and honest with yourself. Lord, if You took everything that I have in this world, that would hurt and that would cause me some angst. And that would cause me to worry a little bit. But I have to move from all that I have to all that You have given to me in Christ. And know that that is sufficient for me. You see, that's faith in action right there. That's faith where it meets the road. That's true believing trust that I know that if I might have a lot in the bank and I might have a lot at the house and I drive this fancy little car and I'm pretty well off, but I'd rather have Jesus' riches than any of that. And that's got to be truth for us, you see, Because without Christ's riches, you're not rich. And then who can say that you're living? You may have a lot going on. You've got friends ad nauseum. You've got Facebook that just lights up this world. Me, I got about 3 or 4 people that do Facebook for me. And honestly, that's about all I want, you know. Because I get all this stuff on Facebook, and then all I do for sometimes 30 minutes. Now, am I right? Delete, 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 delete. Why do I want to see some stupid cat doing jump? Delete, delete, delete. Why do I want to see some baby giggling with pie on their face? Delete, delete, delete. You know? I don't need that. You know, it's time consuming. But people, I've fallen into the trap where another preacher said, oh, pastor, you ought to have you a Facebook page. And I bought that. And I'm thinking, do I really need the time for that? No, I don't need all that, beloved. I'm not living because I got Facebook. I'm not living because you tweet. You might as well tweet to yourself because I'll never answer it. You text me. I'm not going to take a phone and do this. I'm sorry. I refuse. And it's not because of my gray hair. Oh, he just ain't with me. He ain't up to modern. I'm not going to do it. I got more life than that. You understand that? My life is not wrapped up in who can text me. Some folks are got there and you got it on vibrate. And I haven't seen you do it. But it happens at services all the time. They're listening to the message and all of a sudden, bless your heart. What do they have to say that is more important than what Jesus has to say from his word? Because when you get into that trouble, let me say this. When life hits you upside the head with a 2x4, are you going to text them or are you going to cry out to God? So you better know how to cry out to God first. Amen? No, really, I don't. I have one of those old-fashioned old flip phones still. So I'm not going to respond to a text going A, B, C, D, F. Not going to do it. You want me? Call me. I answer my phone. And I'll extend this. I answer emails. Don't I, Sheila? I answer emails and I'll answer my phone. You knock on the door. If I know you, I'll let you in. If you're trying to sell me something, bless your heart as you leave. Am I being terrible, Wilma? No? Okay. I had to ask Wilma. She knows what terrible looks like. She tells me. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Listen, listen. How shall he not with Jesus freely give? Did you hear that? Oh, Lord, I need a blessing today. Will you please bless me? Oh, get off that. He wants to bless you. You don't have to beg for a blessing from God. It is his nature to bless his children as much as it is for you to sit a nice meal before your children after church service and make sure they eat properly. It is in your nature to take care of your children. Amen? It is God's nature to take care of his. Lord God, I know you're going to bless me. Help me to recognize those blessings and then to walk in those blessings, oh God, so I can give you glory and thanks. I want to recognize them. I want to be thankful for what you give to me. How many of you can name just off the top of your head 10 things right now you're thankful to God for? 10 things. Just if you can't come up with 10 things in 10 seconds, you're not thankful enough. Bless you. You're not. And I'm not talking about just the religious blessing or the faith blessing. Oh, I thank you for my salvation. We all thank God. I'm talking about I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for all the blessing that they are to me. I'm thankful for what they do for me, oh God. I'm thankful for your walking with me every day. I'm thankful for the gifts of service you've given to me. I'm thankful for the empowerment you've given to me through the Holy Spirit. God, I'm just thankful. Lord, you got any more time? I got some more things to think about. Have you ever taken a prayer time where all you ever did was just praise and thank him? It never asked him for anything. That'll change your prayer life. Because it makes you aware of the freely given. Amen. Some of y'all haven't cracked a smile in this whole sermon. Maybe you're just thinking and meditating. Now, I'm going to be positive. But you're not living. if you're living without Jesus. Amen? Because He lives. Did you hear it? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Not because I got resources, but because He lives. Amen? One more verse, and I have to pick up part 3 next week. Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Here's the bottom line. You are saved by grace. You are giving gifts by grace. I'm talking about blessings. But all, in the midst of those gifts are also given to you the ability to minister in Jesus' name. So it is fair to say, you are all, if you're born again now, if you're saved, you are all ministers for Jesus. And you have a gift. You have a God-given gift that He wants to anoint. Most of us have more than one gift, but you have at least one. You say, I don't know what it is. Then you need to be in prayer about it and find out what it is and get it to working. You have at least one gift, and you need to ask God, I need you to anoint it. I don't want to just use my gift to use it. I want to use that gift under your anointing. That's the only way you're going to get the glory, is under your anointing. Even when you give your tithes and offerings, and if you're faithful in your tithes and offerings, you want to give those tithes and offerings under the anointing. And never, 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 did I say it enough? Do you withhold God's tithe unless you want God's curse. I don't like what they're doing down there. And I'm like, okay, you want God's curse instead of God's blessing? You withhold His money. You take it from Him. You're cursed with a curse. Malachi 3:10. Some of you wonder why I just can't get along. I wonder why my health is failing. I wonder why I just can't get... Man, one thing right after the other just seems to fail, to fail, to fail for me. You're not under the blessing. Why? Because you robbed God. Now, how can you say, Lord, Lord, you robbed God? Now, how did I get on that subject? Because that's part of ministry. Preacher, all I got to give every month, and this is my tithe. This is my 10%. It may be just $20. Bless God. All you got is the widow's mite. Bless God. I'm telling you, I'm your preacher. I love you. With all of my heart, I love you. I'm not getting on to you so we can get more money. Y'all have turned, I want to say this positively now as a church, you have turned a huge corner in your giving in the last few years. And I thank God for that. I don't praise you for that, because I would be saying, you're doing now what you're supposed to be doing. So I want to say that to you. You've turned a huge corner, and I thank God that you've heard and are obeying. Can I say that very positively? But there's still a few, and I don't know who you are, because I don't see the tithe list. And I say this for you to be blessed. You need to turn that corner and honor God. Because who honors you with what you have? Who honored you with what you claim that you got? Did your hands do it? Then it will perish in your hands. But when you give it unto God, you open the door of blessing. Now the word says that. Malachi 3:10, check it for yourself. I want you blessed. I do not want you harmed. I want you, did you see that, hear that? I want you blessed. And many times when I open the door for counseling, somebody comes to me, there's been many times that God the Holy Spirit tells me to ask this question. Are you faithful in your tithe? They tell me all these things that are going on in their life. And I know that their background is this or that. And then I say, well, I haven't put the finger on this yet. And then the Holy Spirit says, ask them if they're faithful in their tithe. And almost 95% of the time, the answer is no. You're cursed with a curse. Well, I don't believe God would do that. I am the Lord God. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord God. I change not. That means the word in the Old Testament is just as good as the word in the New Testament. Say amen. I want you blessed. I want you joyful. And you can't be when you're disobedient. Neither can I. When you are in ministry, when you, all parts of your ministry, all parts of your life, beloved, all parts now, this is what I need you to hear. When you say you're living, but you're living without Christ, you're living in fantasy land. You're living in fantasy land. Because it will never meet what your need is. And that is Jesus once, now, for always and ever. You want to find, listen now, God's purpose for you. If you want the joy doors open. Are you listening? If you want the joy doors open. Cross ties, am I telling it right? You need to find your purpose in Christ and then get to it. That's not out of works now, because I'm going to give you a little preview of next week, because it says here in this scripture, verse 10 now, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what now? What does it say? Good works. You see, you can't get into heaven by your works. But once you are created in Christ, you're created under his banner, into his anointing, unto good works for his glory, you see. But you can't do good works for his glory until you're in Jesus. And it says here, for which God hath before ordained. In other words, that is his divine, sovereign, holy purpose. That's what ordained means. And you and I cannot trump that. Now, you can be disobedient to it, but you cannot trump his purpose. Because it says in the Bible, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. In other words, God didn't make any mistake when he saved you. He didn't make any mistake when he gave you a certain gift. He didn't make any mistake when he called you into ministry. He didn't make any mistake when he called you to this church. Say amen. He didn't make any mistake. God has ordained your every beat of the heart. God has ordained your every breath that you take. He's ordained your every mood. Did you know that? When I am not in joy, I am not in his will. Did you know that? Because that's what I can trace it back to. Amen. When I don't have joy, I can always trace it back. I'm out of the will of God somewhere. Always, always, always. Why am I depressed? Because I didn't get something I thought I wanted. Why am I discouraged? Because something didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. Why am I distraught? Because I can't control my situation. But God, you can do all the above. Let your joy return to me. Because God, you're sovereign, and you're in control. What have I to worry about? Because it says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. And you see, when you and I are anxious and stressed and worried, you know what happens? We lack faith. That's all it is. When you worry, you lack faith that God is really God in your life and can do what he says he'll do. Amen? That's all it is, lack of faith. That's why you worry. I don't really believe God can take care of me. Well, that's not true, because God can, because he promised he could. Amen? If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're living one of those loner lives. You're living one of those, or a life that's alone. You're not feeling the joy of the Lord. You don't have the purpose and peace of God in your life. Well, Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you what? Rest. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Have you given all your care to Jesus? Have you given all your life to Jesus? Christian, answer that question for yourself. Have you given all your life to Christ? Well, I did when I was saved. What about today? We're not talking about yesterday. We're talking about today. Is Jesus Lord of your life? You know one thing that we don't have in churches anymore? The preachers have shied away from preaching the Lordship of Christ. And without the Lordship of Christ, and you knowing that, you cannot glorify God. He must be Lord. Amen? Owner, ruler. That's what Lord means. Owner, ruler. Lord, you're owner, ruler. Are you saved? He offers you grace today if you will step out in faith. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.